A very good Monday morning to you, although we do repeat this show throughout the week, including Tuesday and Thursday, if we're not going to do the Computer Guy program. But the original broadcast is 10 days before Halloween. And if it's 10 days before Halloween, we must be talking about something that is scary, spooky, and mysterious. What could possibly be more scary, spooky, and mysterious than the field of presidential hopefuls in 2020, or politics in general, or the gentleman who's sitting at the Oval Office? I'll bring my co-host, Dr. Ron L. Feynman, from his domicile in a place where it's spring or summer throughout the year, not just fall or sometimes summery during the fall like it is here. Ron, how are you on this fine Monday morning in Radio Land?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Not too bad. As our listeners may know, I had a death in my immediate family on Sunday the 13th. I lost my father at the age of 79 and a half, so we took a bereavement leave last week. Not sure how you get over the death of a parent. I will be.
You don't.
I'll never be the same.
Express my condolences again.
I have no living direct descendants now, and I will never be the same. I don't know what to do, but time marches on. You know, as I tell people, I woke up this morning. I walked with my own two legs to get coffee, to go to the bathroom, got dressed, looked in the mirror. You know, I was still fairly cute. Still look, I would say, quite good for my age. Still, my voice sounds good. I'm still sharp as a tack, still sarcastic and feisty. So, you know what? That's what I have to be thankful for. And life is a precious gift, and I encourage everybody to enjoy every second of it, because every second that rolls by is a second that will be forever ingrained in history. And if I didn't say it online enough, please don't go to bed mad at the people you love. And if you feel like it's a good time to hug your loved ones, your immediate family, your significant other extra hard, do it. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to do it in public.
Now, the one thing you got to remember, though, your father may have passed, but he's part of you, and he had an impact on you, so that he carries on that way.
Yes, I would say that, and I don't know how you cope with the loss of a parent. My mom was only 53. I mean, it's sad.
Well, that's...
But time marches on, and I know what to say. Certainly, the political climate has made it so that any time Ron and I get together, there is never a loss of things to talk about. Also, like to indicate my mourning of the death of a very good friend of this radio station, a celebrity death from late last week, Mr. Bill Macy, age 97. Co-star of Maude, he was on Seinfeld and many other shows. He was sharp as a tack and feisty as ever. Again, I guess a little like myself, on the many times that Scott Spears spoke with him, including most recently, about 4 months ago. Those interviews are on our website. We even have a YouTube video of Bill in his kitchen talking with Scott remotely. So we interview many old-time celebrities in the station, and it's just unfortunate when one of them passes. Dick Gregory, a great friend of the station whom I met in person during a two-hour taping of a show, and he passed a few years ago. It's very sad. Not much else to say, but Bill, like Dick Gregory, led a long, productive life, had many fans who loved him, and we do miss him very much. And I'm hopefully going to produce a Best of Bill Macy show like I did a Best of Dick Gregory show.
I know, that would be wonderful. I also think this is a time to mourn the passing of Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings, the head of the Oversight Committee in the House of Representatives investigating Trump. This was a shock. He was 68 years old.
Yeah, 68 in 2019, that's young, yeah, and very sad.
Yes.
Sometimes things kind of come in threes, and it is just such an active time in the news right now. We have an off year, but November elections coming up, and, you know, jokes aside, yes, it's at the original airing of this show, it's 10 days from Halloween, and it seems like in the United States political climate, it's Halloween 24 hours a day.
Yes.
But time marches on, and certainly Ron and I are never at a loss of things to talk about. Of course, one of the topics we will ponder will be the presidential debate, which took place about 3 miles from my house. I would say acquaintance slash friend of mine in Columbus. He actually got tickets to go, and he proudly posed with Pete Buttigieg's better half, Chasten Buttigieg, and posted that on Facebook.
That's nice.
But again, he shook Mayor Pete's hand and other hands as he was able to get tickets. And again, the event was very close to my house. I kind of avoided that area because of all the security and the traffic. But kind of nice watching something on TV, knowing how close by it was occurring and all the media dignitaries that were reporting and analyzing, delineating, and all that good stuff. We'll talk about the debate, of course, during this program. Ron has been on with me many, many, many times, as well as the interviewer to the stars, the aforementioned Scott Spears, talking politics, current events, presidential history. He writes a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com. He is a regular contributor to the History News Network, and he's also a published author, including his book about presidential assassinations, which I'm reading. Was actually going to catch up on it Sunday the 13th, but other events came up, but I'm going to be resuming my perusal of that fine publication very soon, and we'll talk about it. My local library, the Worthington Library, which is my official local library, had a copy that I've checked out, and that was kind of cool. Again, I proudly posted that photo on Facebook of me selecting the book from their shelves. Glad to see my tax dollars are going toward purchasing publications that are educational and informative and sometimes a little humorous. Ron, like myself, interjects humor. Even if it's a serious topic, I always say, never take yourself too seriously. And even in rough times, laughter is the best medicine. I mean, I think we've especially seen that with the presidential candidates. Some breaking news from last Friday. It would appear that TV commentator, former Ohio representative and former Ohio governor, well, someone who also lives just a few miles from my domicile, Mr. John R. Kasich, has had a change of heart. He now believes that Donald J. Trump should be impeached. And he's a middle-of-the-road, if not somewhat liberal Republican, so he certainly isn't as conservative as other Republicans, but economically, I mean, he certainly is a fiscal conservative and a classic Republican, just on some social issues where he's greatly moderated in the last 10, 20 years. But this case, he has gone against his party lines, just like he didn't go to the Republican convention in Cleveland. He's being a bit rebellious, and he now supports the impeachment of one Donald J. Trump. And again, that's a rather breaking story from last Friday. So when you heard about that, Ron, I think I actually told you that first. What was your reaction, though? I really wasn't surprised, because obviously Kasich doesn't like Trump because he didn't go to the Republican convention. That pretty much sums it up. But
well, I was very pleased, because I think John Kasich, while I don't agree with him on everything, is a very legitimate person, and is the kind of a person, at least someone like him, who is the future of the party. If it's going to be a Trump party, as everybody says, and the Republican Party is dead, it needs to go back to the mainstream, and I think a John Kasich or a John Huntsman from Utah would be the ideal kind of person to do that. So I'm glad that he feels that way. And we pretty much know it's unlikely that he's going to be removed, although you never know. Mitt Romney's come out against him, not actually said he's for impeachment, but I think there's a chance we could get enough votes, maybe, possibly, as things get more deteriorated every day, more lying, more deceit. Who knows? He might get removed, but at least we know he will be impeached by the House. That we know.
Let's pretend that George Bush number one were still alive, or maybe he's looking down upon this.
Oh my God!
From heaven. What do you think he would want to do? What do you think Ronald Reagan would want to do if they were alive, or if they're in heaven, kind of watching the news?
Well, it's hard to know, but I would think they would both. I think Reagan would be very shocked at what he has done with Russia, allowing Russia into Syria and having more of a presence in the Middle East, our president, than Reagan worked against it. And Nixon threatened nuclear weapons in 1973 during the Yom Kippur War. The Russians came in to help Egypt. So I think they would both, and also Bush, as a foreign policy expert, would be totally stunned. And a lot of Republicans in the Senate Senate and the House have condemned them, and the House passed a resolution. Only 60 no votes, Republican. Two-thirds of the Republicans voted with all the Democrats to condemn him on what's going on about the Kurds in Syria and the assistance basically given to Russia. And realize, when did he tell Turkey to go in? On the birthday of Putin. October 14th. So there's more than ever evidence that this guy is tied to the Russians, and how anybody could not see that, I don't know.
So it would be logical to believe, Ron, that George Bush, number one, Reagan, and let's go ahead and add Tricky Dicky, because he certainly was a foreign policy.
But George W. Bush, I'm sure, is against it. Not saying much, but I'm sure he is, yeah.
You can safely say, and I would agree. Now, Reagan, again, a controversial president, we pretty much agree on the guy. We like him as a man. We love his sense of humor.
Absolutely.
We admire his presence. Again, knowing what to say, what not to say. And again, being an actor, that certainly shows acquired skills. He had good political experience. Again, not sometimes a politician has too much experience, and that's probably an issue with Kasich. He's a professional politician. But Reagan, president of the Screen Actors Guild.
He's the governor of California.
Yeah, governor of California. So he had enough mixture of skills and experience to make him not necessarily a president we agree with, but certainly one who did his job, took it seriously, and probably was not spending 3 or 4 a.m. tweeting. Of course, they didn't have tweeting back then, but even if they did, I think he would use that time wisely. But certainly his accomplishments in tearing down the wall, in breaking up the communist rule in Eastern Europe, that was, I would say, a great accomplishment. And Reagan would look at what Trump is doing with Russia and probably get disgusted. I would tend to agree with that. And Nixon, as a connoisseur, a total scholar on foreign policy, he would be saying, what the, and the word after that rhymes with truck. We're not going to say what it is, but I think our listeners know.
Interesting about the Russia connection is now just pretty good news. Just recently, in the last couple of days, that Hillary Clinton is now claiming that she thinks that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian plant to maybe be a third party candidate to help Trump to win, because she's a little bit too pro-Russian herself, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii. She really is very different than other Democrats on Russia, and I'm wondering if there's some truth to that, because I'm not impressed with Tulsi Gabbard at all.
Wouldn't surprise me. Well, she doesn't have a snowball's chance in you-know-where.
But if she's a third-party candidate, which she's denying, then she could take votes away and help Trump to win. That's the thing.
Who knows?
Jill Stein was a Russian plant, we know now, because she even had dinner with Putin. There's a photograph in 2015. So Jill Stein, who ran as the Green Party candidate, was really a turncoat, too, and had an effect.
As much as I'd love to support a female candidate, I'm not a fan of either. We both like Klobuchar, but she doesn't have a chance either. She is such a moderate Democrat.
No, she did pretty well in this debate this past week. Yeah. I thought she was much
stronger. No, she's impressive, but the polling has not shown her as being a serious candidate.
Well, it may turn. But, you know, Pete Buttigieg, was he good? He was really good, and I think he's going to start to see more rise in the polls now.
And talking about
to Joe Biden,
in talking about the debate, which we'll kind of talk about now, and we're already hinting around, as I told Ron, I really like Joe Biden. I mean, there's a good guy.
Yeah, I do too.
But he seemed disinterested. He was not focused. And he's in he's in his late 70s. And we wonder, what would it be like under the pressure of the office? And it's kind of a shame. But I don't think he's up to the job. However,
I don't know if he is either. But the one thing I worry about, if he gets nominated, he's got to do well in the debates. He's got to do well. I mean, even if something happens and he's in office, so the vice president takes over. But damn it, he cannot mess up the fall campaign. And that's what worries me next year, that he might. And then it'll be thrown the election to Trump. That's what scares me.
But is he the only Democrat who can beat Donald? I would say the only one that confident can beat Donald. Anyone else? Right. I think unless Donald gets removed, he will be president until January 20th of 2025 at 11:59:59 Eastern.
I would say God forbid to that. That would be horrible.
But you would tend to agree that Joe Biden, at least the Joe Biden from 10 years ago, I don't think we're getting that same Joe Biden now, is the only candidate.
Yeah, no, well, he's changed. I think if he had been able to run in 16, if his son hadn't died, maybe, you know, then he would have been all right. But now, boy, I don't know. But look, Trump himself is not the same person he was 5 or 10 years ago. When people get older, they become different. So, you know, maybe we could survive Joe if he could get in. That's the thing. First get him in, and then we'll worry if he survives the term. But it's just the idea of Trump's still around. So maybe after Trump's all his miscues, maybe Joe can still do it.
I mean, Buttigieg is impressive. And I watched, yes, and he seemed like he was talking more than anybody. And
very strong, too, in the way he was.
And again, it's not just a question of experience. I mean, he's a mayor of a small college city, but Trump came in with no political experience. But we do look at age. We look at the wisdom that's gained with age. And I think of myself as someone who grew up in the 70s, and Pete Buttigieg was born in the 80s. And relatively speaking, compared to me, he's a kid. Now, he's a very smart kid, maybe a bit of a smart aleck kid.
Yeah.
But has he seen enough of the world, Ron?
He'll be 39 and one day old.
And we've had presidents in their 40s, including Obama. But every day, you know, we say, okay, 50 is the new 40. And yes, people are living longer. There's a difference in the lifespan, even with Kennedy being young and Theodore Roosevelt being young. What 45 or 50 is thought of as is different now than it was one or two.
Bill Clinton was 46 when he became president. Yes, another example. And his vice president, Al Gore, was 45. It was the youngest team ever.
Just seeing Pete at that age, you kind of wonder. As I've said, is he smart enough to overcome his lack of having seen the world, his lack of foreign policy knowledge? I would say yes. As I know from my own experience, because I think me and Pete are similar in just the way that we use our intellect to make up for deficiencies in other areas, not to mention that he was in the military, which is invaluable experience. So I think he would be a good president. He certainly would be very different than Donald.
But very smart, too.
But
he's a Rhodes Scholar, too, yeah.
I really question if he would be able to beat Donald. I see him as being a Democratic frontrunner. But in terms of a serious candidate who could beat Donald or beat really any Republican opponent, Biden could certainly do it. And that's it. Warren and Sanders are much too liberal. Booker's a joke. Yang repulses and scares me, as I told you. And then we have Sanders and Warren. Warren, in addition to being female, which is great for me, but not some people, she just is too liberal. Interestingly, she is old relatively, but she
she'll be
very
if she
spunky.
Got in, she'd be a year older than Donald Trump first term. She'd be the oldest first term inauguration, would be 71 and a half, while Trump was 70 and a half. So, she would be the oldest first-term winner, and so would Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. They'd all be a lot older, you know.
That's
the problem. The age issue is still a big problem.
She
really
seems younger.
I really think we need a new generation. That's why I'm really hoping Pete can do it, you know.
Just seeing her as a few years younger than Joe Biden, I see at least a generation of difference. I don't see her having lost any of her sharpness. And, you know, she looks youthful. Biden presents himself well. But my first thought, Ron, he was just disinterested. There was no spark in that guy. Now he is a laid back person. I agree. He doesn't have he doesn't have that hyper personality of Donald Trump or Warren or even Pete to an extent. Pete's kind of a moderately hyper. But Biden, he's always been laid back. I mean, no matter how old he would be, you wouldn't think of him as being kind of that life of the party, but he gets stuff done. So maybe I'm misinterpreting, but my thought was that he was kind of disinterested and losing focus.
I got to say, you and I are not Bernie fans, but honestly, Bernie seemed to be all right considering he had a heart issue 2 weeks ago. He didn't seem worse for wear in that regard. Much I like him, but he came across as himself, didn't he?
Well, from a health standpoint, he's recovered, and I feel he is very healthy for his age. I mean, it's in 2019, if you properly treat a heart attack, it isn't quite the disease that it was even 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, so that he's good. Yeah.
And
But he's still too far to the left, I agree.
But in terms of his politics, you've already pretty much heard my assessment of the guy. As I told you, I have referred to him as a near communist, and I have changed the designation to borderline communist. And call me a McCarthy if you want. Him saying that the government will promise anybody a job, that is this Santa Claus attitude, which will end up being a communist state. We all know what it would lead to. The government doesn't owe me.
He has to give him a beard, it'll be Santa, right?
And so, again, he's not a true communist. He's not Brezhnev. I'm not saying that. But he's on the border. And the fact that he leads these vulnerable young people, and that's most of his following, to think that the government will just take care of you. That's not how we do things here. Now, I understand to an extent that's how it's done in Scandinavia or even in Canada. But the United States is different. And again, we have social policies, but we're still a capitalist state. And that's even if it were to work, Ron, that's what I want. I don't want to live in the People's Republic of the United States. And that's what Bernie Sanders wants. Now, Warren, again, is different in that she is a true Democrat, but a liberal one. I mean, Obama was pretty liberal.
She says she's a capitalist. She doesn't say she's
a socialist. And that's what the difference is. And that's why, again, I kind of go back and forth with her. I don't like what she has to say about immigration. I do like her spunk. You know, I'd like to see a female president, even if it's not one that I'm overly enamored with. But I think it's time. You know, Hillary, I don't think she's coming back. But Warren, you know, maybe it's her time. And as we've talked about, she's very smart. She's innovative. And I do believe in office she would moderate. And she certainly.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, by the way, I have a friend who was talking with me about the election, and he said, Ron, I predict none of these candidates get a majority of the ballots at the Democratic convention. I said, what? After all the primaries? Nope, nobody will have enough delegates. It'll go to a second ballot, and Hillary Clinton will announce that she'll be the nominee.
Well, that's.
So I said, what?
That's fine with me.
I don't think that.
And I think Hillary actually has a better chance of beating Trump than Biden, and I think that would be wonderful. I don't think she's too old.
Imagine that she wouldn't even run and then be picked on the second ballot or the third ballot. That would be stunning.
It would be very interesting. But you and I know, Ron, this election is going to be one of the interestingest of all time. The last two were interesting, and this will be even interestinger, if that's a word. And I would have no objection to that.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Hillary ended up the nominee and beat Trump? Wow.
Well, you know.
But I'm not sure she could. She might win the popular vote and still not win the electoral vote. That's
if you don't, if at first you don't succeed, try again. You know, Klobuchar, well, I think you would agree, is a bit like Hillary in some ways, a moderate, if not, and some things like financial matters, a bit on the conservative side as a Democrat. And well-spoken. I don't know what her staff members have said about her being less than nice, but she comes across to me as nice.
But the thing is, men are nasty to their stats, but if a woman is, it's the end of the world. That's what I find ironic, you know.
I mean, it's hard to say with Klobuchar, and maybe she'd be a good vice presidential candidate, but we do like her.
Well, what about a team of two women? That seems to be impossible. I wrote an article on that, though, on the Progressive Professor. What if we had Warren and Klobuchar, let's say, combination?
Well, all I would say is, let's have, and I'm not saying this is right, it's just the way things go. With the two candidates, one of them was going to have to be an old white guy, so to speak. And even with Buttigieg, again, I compare it almost to Obama, where Obama was relative, not as young as Pete, but relatively young. And interestingly, they're both a minority, and Pete being a different minority. But I think in both cases, they're a minority that you wouldn't think would be able to be president. Of course, Obama proved us wrong. But the other person on the ticket would be an old white guy. I do not see Buttigieg asking Sanders to be VP. If he were to get nomination.
No, that wouldn't happen. You know, that would definitely not happen. But the thing is, one way of looking at it is, think of it, the Democrats have not nominated a white male since 2004 with John Kerry. They nominated a mixed-race black person and then a woman. So it actually has been a long time since they've had a white male running for president, if you think about it.
But in both cases, the VP, which the other person on the ticket was...
Yes.
Like, I'm not sure how old Tim Kaine is, but I mean, he's at least 50, I believe. So
he's in his 60s.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's old saying, I mean, even 60 isn't really old anymore, but I mean, so old enough to be considered grandfatherly.
Well, Klobuchar will be 60 at the time of the election, so she's reaching 60 by next year. Yeah.
But and, I think you would agree.
Actually, if Hillary was to be elected, she'd be the oldest first term president, she'd be 73 and months. So she would be even 2 years older than Warren. Realize that. So she's also no youngster anymore.
I think you'd agree, Ron, that if the nominee were Pete, a gay gentleman in his late 30s, we would have an old white guy as vice president. Exactly which old white guy? Well, it's kind of hard to say. Would it be one of the candidates? Could it maybe be someone like Inslee? Who knows? Inslee or...
It wouldn't be Sanders either, though. It would not be that old. It would have to be somebody younger. Yeah. But what about if Pete had a woman as his running mate? You don't think that would work, huh?
I think you'd agree. And again, women are not a minority. They're actually a majority among adults, but I'm talking about among
presidents.
But what
about having a woman running mate with Pete?
What you would agree, Ron, that I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't like to see Hillary as VP and Pete as president, or even vice versa is even better. Yeah. But if you are not an old white guy as president, your vice president should be the aforementioned.
Older than Pete.
Yeah, said. I mean, yeah. Old is relative, yeah. And the aforementioned OWG. Yeah. What I have to say is I can think of an old white guy from my backyard and also from Pete's backyard who would be an outstanding VP. That, of course, is Sherrod Brown. They're from neighboring states, but...
Well, he's also going to be close to 70 by that time. He's no youngster either.
That's what I said, old white guy. If we had Pete as president...
Not as old as Joe and Bernie, but yeah, older, yeah.
But Brown is an old white guy, and he's from a state that the Democrats have to win if they want to win the White House. Pete is from a conservative Midwestern state. Would he win Indiana? Well, if he did, that would certainly help. And if the Democrats could win Indiana and Ohio, Ron, I think you would agree that would be a very beneficial avenue to...
Oh, my God. By the way, I looked up Sherrod Brown. He would be 68 if he became vice president. He was born in 1952, so in November he'd be 68 years old, which makes him still quite a bit younger, but no youngster exactly, but at least, you know, high 60s, yeah.
I think you and I would agree
Sherrod
that...
Sherrod Brown would be the running mate of somebody, and that's true.
A ticket... And he told Scott Spears that he didn't want to be VP under Hillary. Scott asked him, would he run if asked? And he really wouldn't answer, but he sort of said yes. And I think if he would have been the vice president, instead of the rather poor choice of Tim Kaine, we would be talking about President Hillary Clinton right now. I think you and I would agree on that. So I would have
And also, his wife, Connie Schultz, is an outstanding journalist. She'd be quite a second lady, Connie Schultz, you know?
We would have an excellent second humans. Of course, we have the first.
Well, you know, think of it. If Joe does get elected with Jill Biden and Connie Schultz is the wife of the vice president, you've got two outstanding, wives there with Jill and Connie. That would be quite a team itself, you know.
I would say it's a pretty good chance that the second lady, if Donald Trump were to lose, is someone we would like, or let's say the second person, because it could be a man, of course. A second person would be someone whom we would find very appealing. We talked about Elizabeth Warren's
Bruce
husband.
Mann, Harvard Law Professor, is the husband of Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. So we would have Bruce Mann as first gentleman.
As possibilities for first gentleman, we have Chasten Buttigieg. He's also very young. He's about
30. 30 years old, too. Yeah. He'd be pretty much the youngest person, except for maybe Jacqueline Kennedy and Frances Folsom Cleveland, one of the youngest, you know, first lady, first gentlemen, because he's so young. He's not even 31 yet. Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren's husband, the professor, and, of course, Dr. Jill Biden. We both are quite fond of her. So something tells
really like
me
her.
The second ladies will be people that are liked more than the current first and second ladies. And the current ones, again, I like Melania, but I, you know what I think.
Her, you mean?
You know what I think about Karen Pence. So again,
I know you
hoping
are.
That both wives are ones
that said Trump was so wonderful with women. How could she say that? That's not, with her religious connection that she claims. How could she say that? That really shocked me that she would do that. You know,
as you and I know, the VP's job is to be a yes man or yes person for the president. That isn't necessarily bad. That's the VP is the president's running mate, the president's number one cheerleader. And Karen Pence, you know, I don't really take much of what she has to say. I'm certainly not a fan. I certainly don't like looking at her face. It's a good way for me to lose my appetite. And when she opens up her mouth, I lose my appetite even more. So, as I said, at least Mike Pence has qualities that I find very appealing. I just wish he didn't shove his religion down people's throats.
He's not going to change that.
Right. He doesn't seem like a very good Christian to me, because the God I know says to love people for being good people, not because they may not agree with you.
But imagine if it ends up that Pete ends up running for vice president and debates Pence. That would be something to see, as I think we might have said once before. I know I've said it to somebody.
That would be the most amusing and
to Indiana,
interesting yeah. Indiana event in history.
Yeah, and actually, I think if they had a VP debate, it should be in Indiana, in Indianapolis, probably. It shouldn't be somewhere else. It should be
and of
right
course,
in the state of
interestingly,
Indiana to be debating.
We have Chasten Buttigieg and Karen Pence. They're both teachers. I'd like to see them debate. That would be interesting.
Oh,
and they're both
that
teachers.
Would be interesting. Yeah.
Could you imagine those
she wouldn't
two?
Hire him at the school that she teaches at, would she, Chasten?
It would appear
teacher.
That...
She wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because that school, the Christian school in D.C., does not hire or have any students or any staff that are gay, lesbian, or transgender.
Do you think they
so
would...
They,
do you think
they
should
get a job there, even if he wanted to.
What Chasten. Do you think, Ron? Do you think they should have a Chasten Buttigieg and Karen Pence debate and hold it at Chick-fil-A? What do you think about that?
That would be something to see.
Would that be something for the Comedy Channel, or wouldn't it be?
Well, the only thing is the Chick-fil-A food would be interesting. Chick-fil-A is actually pretty good tasting, so that would be the only good part of having the food, but not watching the debate, I don't think. That is quite a funny thought, though, yes.
I want to kind of switch gears, Ron, and I wanted to mention a viewpoint that Pete has, which I don't agree with, and many people do, and it has to do with his being gay. No other way to say it. You are familiar, of course, with HIV and the fact that many people that have HIV are, according to what is often generally accepted medical practice, are not able to infect others. And in fact, their viral load is so low, they just take their medication and they are as healthy as someone without HIV. It's called undetectable, and some people call it undetectable, untransmittable. As you folks know, I'm very well versed in science. And I take a look at those kind of theories and think, well, is that something which I would agree with? My opinion is that if someone says he or she is undetectable, I still believe that person can be infectious because these things can change day to day. And people
gamble,
lie.
You know.
And the medication, not to mention all the side effects that it can cause, you don't know what might happen. Now, my understanding is that Pete Buttigieg believes that we should decriminalize when someone who has HIV, and even if he or she is undetectable, that it's not no longer would be a crime. Because right now it definitely is a criminal act if you do adult activities with somebody and don't tell that person that you have HIV, undetectable or not. And Pete feels, from my understanding, is that that should be decriminalized. I take issue with that. Now, it's not a disqualifier. It's not like Kamala Harris saying that ICE is like the KKK. She'll never get my vote for saying that, even though in other ways I like her. He's
Nobody's ever asked her to comment on that. You notice? Nobody's ever brought it up.
I don't hear her apologizing, but what I'm saying is I don't like Pete saying that, and I believe that he is bowing to the obviously many gay people that like him. There is nothing wrong with what I call rooting for the home team. Did Barack Obama get elected partially because most black people voted for him? Well, that certainly helped. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to vote for the home team. Just like when you're in Ohio, you're going to vote for the Ohioan because you want someone who has something in common with you. There's nothing wrong with that. So let me preface by saying that. But I do believe that Pete is trying to get votes because obviously the gay community is heavily affected by HIV. And by saying that he believes that we should decriminalize when someone with HIV does not tell his or her partner about it, to me that's very dangerous and very bad. And I don't like that he is trying to get votes by doing that. What's your opinion, Ron? I know this is a deep topic, but I thought I would throw it out to you.
Completely. I think any part, even men, women, whatever, they should always, if they're going to start up with somebody personally, they should give them their history that could in some way maybe be a problem. People should not be keeping secrets. I absolutely agree with that. That's true. No matter if it's just a man and a woman, and they're both straight, but I still think, you know, if there's any kind of a history of having had a venereal disease or whatever, absolutely.
But my understanding is, and this will vary, and it's based upon also different circumstances, but if you ask your sexual partner, are you HIV positive, and the person says no, or even I would think tries to mislead the person by saying yes, however, I'm undetectable, etc., and even, as I see it, tries to convince the person, because not everybody has the scientific knowledge that I do. I mean, that's me. That's my education. That's my background. That is something which can be punishable as a criminal offense. And my understanding is Pete wants that not to be a criminal offense, and I disagree with that.
I disagree with him. So I agree with you completely.
I thought you would. I just wanted to put that out there. I know it's a sensitive topic. It's not something we really want to go into. But as you know, Ron, if someone is a minority, that person will want to get votes from that minority. And will that person say things that will cause that group of people to be more likely to vote for him or her?
Also by saying that, he might make people who are straight, who are not anti-gay, have a second thought and say, that's reckless. I'm not sure it's a way to get straight people to vote for you to say that.
And I agree. I don't like it. And again, it's not a disqualifier like the aforementioned statement by Kamala Harris, but I'm not happy about it. However, there are so many good things about Pete that, and again, that would never pass anyway, but I don't like him saying that. I don't like somebody kind of bowing down to a minority, whether or not they actually belong to it, just to get votes. And
I agree with you.
Also, don't
I guess some people say Ron Feinman's not a progressive. I am, but I'm not that crazy.
that's not progressive at all. That's dangerous. And that's kind of how I feel. And again, it's just something I see people talking about. But I want to find out a little more. I don't like to accuse people, but I'm rather offended by that he would say that. And I hope that he will kind of reconsider and understand you have to be practical. And you can still get people.
But I don't know if he's going to change what he said, because that would make him controversial that he's changing his mind. He probably, hopefully, would not talk about it a lot unless he's asked. But I doubt he's going to suddenly reverse himself. It's very hard once you make statements like that to reverse it, you know?
Right. And I mean, with me, there are things people will say, and we mentioned Harris for the umpteenth time, which will cause me never to vote for them again. And I'm not happy about this from Mayor Pete.
Why doesn't somebody ask her, do you still believe that? I'd like to see her answer it.
Well,
maybe she would modify what she said, but I've never heard anybody ask her that.
Well, I'd like to hear that, or I'd like to hear her go ahead and say, oh, by the way, maybe in her closing statement, by the way, I talked about how I compare ICE to the KKK, and I'd like to say that I spoke in jest, and although I'm not a fan of ICE, I understand they do a job that is necessary. I'd like to reform them, but calling them like the KKK is mean and inappropriate, and I apologize. I've not heard that, and I'm waiting to hear it. Because you know,
and if you did, would you then consider her as a possible candidate?
I'm sorry?
And then if she did that, would you then maybe consider her as a possible person to back?
It would certainly improve the chances. There are many things about her that I like. Her candidacy.
I like looking at it, too.
Yeah, her candidacy certainly has stumbled. She's no longer considered to be a top-tier candidate. It would help, but
she's very emotional, and she gets almost like close to tears, it almost seems sometimes. And maybe that's not so good. She's a little too emotional, probably, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are things about her. She's very intelligent, and she speaks really well, and she seems sincere. But it's until I hear that
Barack Obama, they always talk about that because her mother's from India and her father's from Jamaica, the nation Jamaica. So she is mixed race, like I go more so than Obama, because you've got Asian from India and African background, you know. In the other cases, African and Caucasian, you know.
I mean, as we say, Ron, we'd like to make a president out of pieces of other presidents. We'd like the gentlemanly and honest nature of Jimmy Carter. We'd like the good looks, the youthful exuberance of John F. Kennedy. We'd like the feistiness and the Theodore Roosevelt. We'd like the innovative economic policies of his fourth cousin, twice removed, Franklin Roosevelt. We'd like the humor, the presence
of
Reagan.
Nixon.
Yeah, foreign policy of Tricky Dicky. We'd like the gentlemanly nature, the scholarly nature. He was a law professor of Obama.
And have a first lady named Betty Ford.
Yeah, but that person doesn't exist, so we try to come close.
Nobody's first.
And I would think that there was a bit of a metamorphosis after the debate. From what I've read, Ron, and you've read, the general consensus is that Mayor Pete was the winner. And Biden is a good man, but he seemed out of it, seemed disinterested.
She was younger, and gosh.
It seems like half the time, Mayor Pete was the one talking. And
I saw that he was debating Beto O'Rourke, you know, and was very confrontational with O'Rourke. And I don't think Beto came across very well, you know.
We look at Beto, he wants to knock on everybody's door and confiscate their semi-automatic weapons.
No, it's not a winning issue. You can't do that. And I just think that he's really not done well. You know, I really don't think he has. And by the way, I don't think Tulsi Gabbard did well, and I don't think Tom Steyer did. I thought, what the hell is Tom Steyer doing there except he has money? You know?
Yeah, and Yang repulsed me before. He repulses me more now. He's also not a good speaker. He's, but again, this $1,000 welfare payment, that's not how we do things in this country. It is un-American. And automation should be looked at from a positive standpoint. And he looks at it like it's the destruction of the world, so let's pay people money instead. That's not the America that I know. And I have no other way to say it, Ron. We talked about Karen Pence. You know of my dislike for her. I would vote for her before I voted for Yang or Sanders. Let's put it that way.
Oh, my God, really?
The other ones, I mean, Booker has no chance. Well, they don't have – I don't think Sanders has a chance at this point. Yang certainly doesn't. Booker, he doesn't have a chance, thank goodness, because I'm not a fan. The other ones, even Harris, I'm willing to talk about it. But certainly the two most likely nominees, which would be Mayor Pete and Joe, I would say at this point I'm likely to vote for them unless they make a really stupid choice for vice president. Even Warren.
So maybe Joe will be president, and if he can't do the job or something happens, Pete would be vice president and take over. Maybe that's what will happen.
Even Warren, I mean, I think she would moderate. And I do like the way that she stands up for herself. And she's a good speaker, very smart. And
well, she's a professor, yeah.
I kind of go back and forth with her because I don't like her opinion on immigration. But I don't hear her saying these stupid analogies like Harris does. But it's pretty clear that she is for open or almost open borders. And that's just not going to happen, even if she supports it. So I'm kind of undecided, and I think she'd moderate her position, of course. I'm undecided with her, but I don't think she's going to happen, and I don't believe she could beat Donald. So all I can say is we'll just find out in November.
Oh, boy, I just hope somebody can, because the scenario is just some polls out that say Trump can win again.
Well,
he won't win the popular vote, but he'll win the right combination of states.
We don't know who the nominee will be. We don't know if Trump will get the pink slip due to impeachment.
He might self-destruct in the next year.
Yeah,
you know?
We just don't know. And, you know, just when you think you figured it out, you're thrown a curve. And that's what makes this show so interesting. And it's also what makes this show fly by because, as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. We've had a lot of fun, and this show is about ready to,
yes, it's very good.
To conclude.
Had a good time.
It's been great talking to you, Ron, and we move onward despite the personal tragedy that I experienced.
And again, my condolences to you, as I've told you in writing, but now I'm saying it again to you the second time on the show.
I mean,
it's a horrible thing, and I really feel bad about it. It's been a rough week. But I want to mention I lost a person I had met a few times who I've known for 20 years who lives in Chicago, and his birthday came up October 13th. I looked him up on Facebook. I couldn't write to him because I was in jail for Facebook for something I said, but I looked it up and discovered he died 2 months ago, and I wrote you about it, you know, in an email. I was shocked that he died at age 56.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about your Facebook jail. We'll talk about that. Anyway, I forgot to talk about something, but there were so many topics.
Facebook jail because of something I said, which I think it's finally ending. It finally ended on Saturday, but it's ridiculous, you know, something I
said. Oh, no. We'll talk about it next week, Ron. We want to talk about the Facebook
jail. If you remember.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Ron, for being with us on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam.
Thanks so much.
And the professor here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.